Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last we're discussing the first point before we go on to the actual kitab of Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. And the last point that we discussed is that if a person he reads a salah in which there is no ruh, there is no life in that salah. So in the way of wilayat, in the path of wilayat, in becoming the friend of Allah Ta'ala, this won't have any effect. The salah won't help you to become a friend of Allah Ta'ala because there's no ruh in the salah. And in the path of nubuwwat also, this salah does not hold any value. And we mentioned that the thing that many a time obstructs a person from reaching Allah Ta'ala, from bringing this ruh, this life in his salah, is that guna. Which Allama Busiri Rahmatullah Alayhi says, Allah Ta'ala save all of us, he says that this nafs of a person, one nafsu katifl, that the nafs of a person, this is like a child, like a little baby. That if the baby, what you do? In tuhmilhu shabba ala hubbi rada'i, wa in tuftimhu yanfatimi. That the baby that is suckling on the breast of the mother, if they leave that baby to keep suckling, what will happen? That baby will grow up, become a little boy, young boy, and he's still suckling on the breast of the mother. He doesn't give it up. And if the mother, when the child reaches the age of 2, according to the Hanafi Mazhab, that the fatwa is that when the child reaches 2 years old, then at the age of 2, then you should no longer breastfeed that child. The mother should wean off that child. And where there is an extreme necessity, then 2.5 years old. Where, for example, the child cannot eat any solids, is extreme necessity, then maximum up to the age of 2.5. But after 2.5 years old, you cannot breastfeed the child. So here he says that if you wean the child, then the child will be weaned off that breast. It is difficult at that time for the baby also. It's difficult for the mother also. The child craves for that. But if a person makes that little mujahada, qurbani, and weans the child off, finish, that's the end of it. So many a time we also, the desire comes that I want to commit the guna. And many a time we say, alright, last time now. Let me take the last enjoyment. Let me do it for one more time. After this, I won't do it again. No, then there'll never be a last time. Because then the next time the desire will come, it will come stronger and stronger. So when a person, he wants to give it up, then make that firm intention, firm resolution, and then stop it there and there. Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Sab Madzub Rahmatullah Alayhi was a senior khalifa of Mullah Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi. He was a government man, government official. So once he met Jigar Muradabadi Rahmatullah Alayhi. And he was a drunkard, he used to drink. So you see Khaja Sab, that a man, government official, and how he has changed his life. Look at the sunnat beard he's got, sunnat clothing he's got. So he says that when you're going to Mullah Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, so he says, I also want to come. So he says, but on one condition, if I come, I come with my bottle. I can't leave my bottle. So he says, Khaja Sahib said, I'll find out. I'll ask Mullah Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi. So when he went, he asked the Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi that he wants to come. He says, I can't keep him in the Khanqa. This is a public place. Now he's going to come with his beer, his bottle over here. It's not correct. But kafir, you can entertain him in your house also. You can give him place to stay in your house also. So he says, I'll give him a place there to stay. So the next time he went with Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So when he met Mullah Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh, he requested Hazrat, he says that make dua for me. So they said, what dua you want? So he said that I want a shari'i beard. I don't have a shari'i beard. That Allah Ta'ala must give me the tawfiq to keep a shari'i beard. He says, what else? He says that make dua that Allah Ta'ala takes me for Hajj. He said the third dua, he says that I must give up drinking. This bottle I can't leave, I must give this up. And the fourth is death upon Iman. So he just met Mullah Thanwi Rahmatullah a little bit. And these were the requests that he made. And all these duas were accepted. Now the point that I was explaining that when he gave it up, so time came, now he stopped drinking. All of a sudden, Allah Ta'ala gave him that tawfiq. This is duas of Ahlullah, sohbat of Ahlullah. Just a little while sometimes you go and they one gaze on you, one dua for you, and that dua gets accepted, your work is done for life. So he stopped drinking. When he stopped drinking, he became very, very sick. So they took him to the doctors. Doctors say, you can't stop like this. Say, you have to stop in stages. First, cut down a little bit, then a little more, then a little more. You're a habitual drunkard. Then you got to stop. So he says that if I stop like this, the way I stop now, I completely gave it up, what will happen? Say, you'll die. And he says that if I have to cut down gradually, then what will happen? Say, you live a little bit longer. How much more? 10 years, maybe 5 years, who knows? That's in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. So he says that I rather die now, but I'm dying in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Rather than living that 5 years more, 10 years more, but those 10 years is in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. So this is when a person, he makes up his mind that I want to give it up there and there. And thereafter it's over. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala informed the Bani Israel that when I am obeyed, then my rahmat comes down. And when my rahmat descends, there's no limit to my rahmat. And when I'm disobeyed, then my lanat comes down. Allah Ta'ala's curse comes down. And he says, this lanat, when it comes down, it remains for 7 progenies. Not only we are affected by it, Allah Ta'ala save us, unless a person must sincerely make tawbah for all those gunas, but his children, children's children, 7 progenies are affected by this. And the good that we do, that also our progenies benefit from. And Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salatu salam, the 2 of them, they had gone on that journey, they had undertaken that journey, and then they came to one particular area, that locality. So the people of that locality didn't entertain Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam. But there was a wall there. So Khidr alayhi salatu salam, he started fixing that wall. And he didn't take any money also. So Musa alayhi salam objected. He said, what are you doing? You're pulling up a wall, you're not taking any money from these people also. So that was the final point. Where Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam told Musa alayhi salam, now it's over. I told you not to object, but you're always objecting. So you're given 3 chances. This is the last chance. Now you go your way. Hada firaqu bayni wa baynik. You go your way, I go my way. But then he explained that everything, if Musa alayhi salam didn't object so much more, we would have come to know also. But this was the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. So nevertheless, he said that this wall, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارِ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ that لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. This belonged to 2 orphans that lived in the town. وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا. And under this wall was treasure, it was wealth that was kept for these orphans. وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. See, the parents were righteous. The parents were pious. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protected this for them as well. It's mentioned in Surah Baqarah. We know about Surah Al-Baqarah. Is known as Baqarah because the incident of the cow has been mentioned. Now that particular cow which Bani Israel had to slaughter, because a murder took place, we're not going to go into that detail, but a murder had taken place. So finally they had to get this cow. They had to just slaughter ordinary cow. But they started asking a lot of questions. And each time they asked questions, it became more difficult for them. But finally they got this cow. Now behind this cow also there's a story. It's mentioned there was a pious person. And this pious person, he had this cow when he had become old or whatever the case must have been. So he had only 1 son. So he took this cow and he went and left it in the jungle. And he said, Allah, I'm leaving this in your amanat. I'm leaving it in your trust. And thereafter he passed away. So that cow was in the jungle. So this child of his grew up. And when this child grew up, he turned out to be a very obedient child to his mother. Exceptionally obedient. It's mentioned that the income that he used to get, one portion he used to keep for himself. He used to work very hard. One portion he used to give to his mother. And one portion he used to give in charity. His night he made into 3 parts. One part of the night he would rest. One part of the night he'll make ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. One part of the night he will serve his mother. Everything, whatever his mother did. Wanted, he would serve her. So one day the mother told him, see son, you work so hard. Your father left behind a cow. But that cow is in the jungle. If you go in the jungle, you'll see that it has like some rays, like the rays of the sun. It has some rays on the skin. You'll recognize that cow. So go in the jungle and call by the Rabb of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, and Ishaq alayhi salam. Call by the Rabb of these great personalities and to Allah Ta'ala. And say that, return that cow to me, bring that cow back to me which my father had left. It's mentioned because he left it in the amanat of Allah Ta'ala, nobody could touch this cow. So when he went, and this young boy now, he called for that cow. He recognized it the moment he came there, he saw the cow, he called for it. Immediately the cow came. So when the cow came, he started walking, following the young boy. So after that Allah Ta'ala gave the cow the ability to speak. So the cow said that, why are you walking? Sit on me. You can ride on me. And I will take you to your destination. He said, my mother didn't give me permission to ride on you. This is ita'at of the mother. He said, my mother didn't give me permission to ride on you. She gave me permission to bring you along. So nevertheless, they continued. Then he came to the mother, came home. So now the mother and son discussed that, let's sell this cow. How much are we going to sell it for? So they got the valuation. They valued it. They said 3 gold coins, 3 dinars. But the mother said that, go to the marketplace to sell it for 3 dinars, but don't sell it, don't conclude the deal until you confirm with me. So he went to the marketplace and somebody met him, said, how much you want for the cow? So he says, my mother said 3 dinars. So he said, no, I'll give you 6. I'll give you double the value. He said, but my mother said not to sell it until I confirm. So he came back to his mother. So the mother asked him, what happened? He says, no, somebody offered 6. So the mother says, okay, go to the market and sell it for 6. But don't conclude the deal. Don't finalize the deal until you come back and confirm with me. When he went to the marketplace, he met somebody. That person said, I'll give you 12. How much you want for it? He said, 6. He said, I'll give you 12. Every time he's getting 100% more. So he said, my mother said, I cannot conclude the deal. I must come and confirm with her. So he went back to his mother. So then his mother told him that those were malaika. They had actually come to test you. Now go back to them and ask them how much you should sell the cow for. So he went back. And then he asked them that, how much must I sell the cow for? So they told him that Bani Israel, a murder has taken place. And they're looking for this particular cow. So tell them whatever is the size of the skin, when you open up the skin, how much of gold you can fill into the skin, that is the price you want for the cow. And Bani Israel, they paid for it. So this also, the piety of the father. So see, when a person, he obeys Allah Ta'ala, then that goodness also remains in a person's progeny. And when a person disobeys Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then that also, we find that many generations thereafter, they suffer the consequence. But there's many, many rights also. Sometimes the fathers also, sometimes it happens, does not fulfill the right of the children. Children don't fulfill the rights of the parents. Once the case came to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, where the father complained about the son. Umar radiallahu ta'ala called the son. So the son, he said that your father has complained against you. So Umar, the boy asked Umar radiallahu ta'ala that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, tell me that only the father has rights or the son also has rights. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, no, the son also has rights. So he says, what's the rights of the son? He says that a person when he gets married, he must marry an honorable woman. So the children that he have also are generally honorable children. That's the first. He said, second, he says that give your child a good name. So that name also has an effect on the child. And the third thing, he said, give him Islamic knowledge. So then this boy spoke out, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, my father hasn't fulfilled a single right of mine. He says, my father did not marry an honorable woman. He married a slave girl. And slave girl, the tarbiyat hasn't been made. The nurturing has not been done in the correct way. Secondly, he didn't give me a good name. The name that he gave me, it has the meaning of filth, dirt, ju'al. So that's the name that he had given me. And he says, my father didn't give me Islamic upbringing, Islamic education. Umar radiallahu anhu turned to the father. He says that what you have done to the boy is much more worse than the boy not fulfilling your right. So he kicked that case out from there. So this happens many a time. Many a time we just push the blame onto the next person, which I was already explained on one time. He says that the West, when they go to all the psychologists, what they say, that think, what somebody has done something to you in the past. Maybe your parents did something. They have harmed you, so this is the result of this. Some family member did some harm to you, so this is the result. So what wrong you are doing, the blame must be pushed on that family member. Your parents must be pushed onto somebody else. Whereas in Islam, every man is responsible for his own actions. Tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. You won't carry the burden of somebody else tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah also. On one occasion, as Rakim Sahib, we were sitting, and one person dropped the water. The water fell. So they said, what happened? So the person that dropped it, he said that Hazrat, the water fell. So it got very upset. He said, the water can fall on its own. He said, I dropped the water. Take responsibility. In one madrasa, there's one principal. When the children, they don't learn, they work. They don't do well. They don't prosper. He says, it's my fault. It's my fault that the child is not doing well. It is my gunas that these children are not progressing. He mentioned about one buzruk, there wasn't any rain. So people were suffering. So one day he cried, he says, Ya Allah, it's through me, my guna. That the whole world is suffering, it is because of my guna. The moment he cried to Allah Ta'ala in that way, Allah Ta'ala sent down rain. So this guna, Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq, we most in need of it, and all of us the tawfiq to give this up. So nevertheless, over here he says the same thing. He says that if there's ruh, then that namaz will be effective. یہی حال طریق نبوت کے دوسرے اعمال مثلا تلاوت قرآن پاک جہاد تبلیغ وغیرہ کا ہے. He says this is the same condition that refers to other a'mal in the path of nubuwat, like tilawat of Quran. If there's ruh in that tilawat, then it's going to have an effect. Now that tilawat will change your life. In jihad that a person is making, there must be ruh, there must be life in that jihad. Tabligh, there must be ruh. Now when there's life in that, so many people will change their life. اور جو حضرات ان اعمال میں روح پیدا کر کے ترقی مدارج کے خواہ ہو ان کے لیے ضروری ہے کہ وہ پہلے ذکر و شغل کے طریق کو اختیار کر کے اپنے قلب کی اصلاح کریں. And he says that those people that are desirous of increasing of increasing in these stages and creating ruh, creating life in the amal. They want to create life in the amal and they want to progress and reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is necessary for them that first they do this cause, they choose this path of zikrullah, do a cause on zikr and spiritual exercises and make islah of the heart. Kyunki amal ke baruh hone ka madar qalb ki islah par hai. He says, for your amal, whether it is tabligh, whether it is jihad, whether it is tilawat, whether it is salah, to bring life in your amal, he says this is dependent on the correctness of the heart. If the heart is in order, if the heart is right, then we find that all this ruh will come into it, life will come into all these things. But how will you get this? Jo kisi sheikh kamil ki tarbiyat aur nigrani mein zikr wa shughal ikhtiyar karne hi se hoti hai. He says, but this will come by the nurturing and remaining under the supervision of a sheikh kamil and making zikr and doing spiritual exercises under that sheikh kamil. When you will remain under the sheikh kamil, he will make your tarbiyat, he will control your zikr. Then we find that the heart of a person will be corrected. When the heart of a person is corrected, when the heart is now in order, what's the consequence of this? Now ruh, life will come into all your amal. Now you'll see that the tilawat that you're making before, that was different tilawat and this is a different tilawat. The salah that you were reading before, that was a different salah. And this is a different salah altogether. So all this will come under Sheikh Kamil. The actual tazkiyah that will take place, that is from Allah Ta'ala. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. It is not the fazl of Allah, the grace of Allah, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that none of your tazkiyah would have been made. The tazkiyah, the actual tazkiyah is from Allah Ta'ala. In one ayat Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْ أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Most certainly we send Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to his nation. And what was the instruction to Musa alayhi salam? That remove your nation, your people, from multitudes of darkness, from kufr, from shirk, all the wrong, take them out to nur, to Islam. On the other side Allah Ta'ala says, اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah is the friend of the believers. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah takes them out from multitudes of darkness and Allah brings them on nur. So this contradiction. Ya Allah Ta'ala is telling Musa al-Islam do it. Ya Allah Ta'ala says that Allah is the dua. So Mawlana Thamini Rahmatullah Alayhi, he reconciled between the two. He says that over there Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has been instructed to do it. He says because he is the sabab. Allah Ta'ala from, and the actual dua is Allah Ta'ala. There he is the sabab, he is the means. The actual dua is Allah. From here, Mawlana Thamini Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the Shaykh Tariqat, who has murid under him, he has a very, very great effect in making your Islam and your tarbiyat. The actual tarbiyat and the actual Islam is from Allah. But the Shaykh will have a great impact, he will have a great effect in making the tarbiyat of a person. Chunache, ye mazmoon sankro ahadith mein. He says this subject matter is mentioned in many, many ahadith. Jaysa, likulli shay'in thiqalatun wa thiqalatul qulubi dhikrullah. For everything there is a polish. And the polish of the heart is the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yaha ek mughalata aam tor par paya jata. He says, yeah, generally, we make one mistake on a generally. Ke baaz ahbab qalb ki islah ke liye zikrullah ke bajaye zahiri amal ki islah par zor dete hain. That some of our beloved, some associates says that in for the islah of the heart, for correcting the heart, instead of now focusing and making the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they place a lot of emphasis on zahiri amal. He says this is a mistake that people make. That for the correctness of the heart, what is going to help? The zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Not emphasizing on other amal. Halanke, faraiz ke alawa, pehle qalb ki islah ka fikr zaruri hai. He says, whereas, besides the faraiz, there are two categories of faraiz. The first category are all the fundamentals of deen. Namaz has been made faraz, zakat has been made faraz. Hajj has been made farz. All this has been made farz. So this is of the first category. Then you get like the second category. Kasbul halali faridatun ba'dal farida. That earning your halal rizq, this is also farz. But after the first category, then comes the earning of your rizq. So here also this says that besides the faraiz, those fundamentals of the first category, he says correcting the heart. It is necessary for a person to make fikr of this correction of the heart. A person should be concerned about correcting the heart. Don't worry about these outward amal that a person wants to do. No, this is more important, that a person must correct the heart. Kyunki hadith paak mein qalb ki islah ko amal ki islah ka zariya farmaya gaya hai. Because in the hadith paak it is mentioned that the correctness of the heart this is the means of the amal of a person being corrected. Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah says, Nek banna farz hai. That for a person to become pious, this is farz upon a person. And then Hazrat used to say, ki apne aap ko nek samajna, ye haram hai. And for a person to regard himself to be nek, to be pious, he says this is haram. Today many people misunderstand this. So Islam is necessary. Many people think that I have to just take bi'ah to some sheikh. I became a murid of a sheikh and my work is done. No, that's not the main thing. The main thing is your Islam. If a person has to correct himself, the heart has to be corrected. One person, if I'm not mistaken, was Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, come and sit in the majlis of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. He didn't take bi'ah to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. After remaining there for a long period of time, Hazrat saw his Islam has been made. He is now already corrected. So Hazrat gave him ijazat. He said, I'm giving you ijazat. So he said, Hazrat, I didn't even take bayat to you. How are you giving me ijazat? So the Thani Rahmatullah Ali said, Dekho, ke faraz to ho gaya, nafil ki baat kar raha hai. That the faraz has already taken place. The actual thing is Islam. Islam has taken place. He's talking about nafil. He's talking about taking bayat. So today is the other way. We place a lot of emphasis on taking bayat. But the Islam that has to be done, which is the actual thing, the Islam we don't really worry about. So here also he's saying, most important after the faraz is correctness of the heart. Jaisa ki hadith hai paak mein, as is mentioned the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَ إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. Nabi alayhi wa sallam says that in the body there is a piece of flesh. If this piece of flesh is correct, the entire body of a person will correct. It will be corrected. And if this piece of flesh is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is this? It's the heart. Allah وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. So if this heart is in order, everything will come right. If the heart is in order, the eyes will see correctly. They'll see in the right place. If the heart is in order, the mouth will speak correctly. The ears will listen correctly. Everything will be corrected. The life of a person will be corrected because the heart is in order. Which many examples have been given of the heart being like the king of the body. If the king is in order, the subjects of the country are in order. But if the king is corrupt, when there's corruption at government level, the whole country is corrupt thereafter. So exactly is the condition of that. So the heart must be corrected. Then we find that our amal will be corrected. Ruh and life will come in all our amal. So this is the first point we should keep in mind. That do a cause in zikrullah to correct the heart. If this is corrected, then ruh will come into our salah. The second point. Namaz seekhne mein jo koshish aur mujahada karna hoga, isme niyat ko khalis kare. Ke main Allah Ta'ala ko razi karne ke liye, ta'meel hukam mein apni namaz mein kamal paida karne ki koshish kar raha hoon. He says that in learning namaz, this effort, this mujahada, this qurbani that you are making, that you want to perfect your namaz, you want to correct your namaz, what must be your niyat over here? The niyat must be that I am doing this to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. For Allah ta'ala I am doing this. To act upon the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I am making this effort to bring perfection in my namaz. So this effort of perfecting our namaz, it is done for who? For the pleasure of Allah. And this niyat we must make it now. If we haven't made this niyat, we're sitting to do this kitab, we haven't made a niyat till now, make the niyat now. That Allah, I'm learning all this, that I want to perfect my namaz to please you. That is my objective. As it says many a times, sometimes we come across some fazail in the kitab. So after we read that fazail, then Hazrat will ask. He says that now we just read, for example, if you read Subhanallah, then this is the reward that you're going to get. He says, who read Subhanallah? Pick up your hand. So few people will pick up them. He said, see, we read it now. Now, when you heard it, read it immediately. You get the tawfiq of making amal, do it now. You don't know later, you'll remember or you don't remember. So that's why here also, a person, we got the tawfiq now to make the niyat immediately. Later on, whether we get the tawfiq of making amal or we don't know. That Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi Rahmatullahi, he used to say that sometimes the desire in a person is created to do some good deed. For example, somebody is not reading Awabin Namaz. Now one day Allah Ta'ala puts it in his heart, today you read Awabin Namaz. So he says that desire that came in the heart at that time, this is a guest from Allah Ta'ala, this mehman. If mehman comes to your home, you open the door, you welcome him, you feed him, he'll be so happy, he'll come again and again. But you didn't treat him well. You closed the door on his face, you spoke to him outside and sent him away from there. Will he ever come back to your house? He won't come back. So he says, all this desire to do good, this is mehman from Allah Ta'ala. Now if you welcomed it, you read that awabin, the desire came, you said, right, let me read it now. Because the desire has come. Again and again you'll get the tawfiq. But if you said, alright, I'll start tomorrow, that mehman that came to your door, you turn that mehman away. So now you won't get the tawfiq. Dr. Abdul Hisab Arifi Rahmatullah used to say that many a times Tahajjud time. It's difficult. Sometimes Isha is late, Fajr is so early, Tahajjud finishes so early. So a person finds it difficult on the nafs to wake up in the morning, read Tahajjud namaz. So he says at that time of the morning, when it's difficult to read Tahajjud namaz, so he says, I speak to myself. I say, alright, don't wake up for Tahajjud. It's difficult to wake up for Tahajjud. In the bed now, just make dua. So he says, I'll make dua. Then I say, no, but you see now you woke up this much. Let me just go to the bathroom also and come back. And then I'll sleep away. So he says, I'll go to the bathroom, go to the toilet and relieve myself. When I'm in a bathroom, I say, but you came up to here. The sink is right here. Make wudu also one time. So he says, then I quickly make wudu. He says, now I made wudu. And I said, now 2 rakats. Just read 2 rakats. And then you go back to sleep. And he says, I go and read 2 rakats. He says, once you start with the 2 rakats, now you finish your complete tahajjud. So he says, this is how a person, he should speak to himself, speak to the nafs. So this desire that comes many a time, that I want to do this, I want to make this niyat, make it immediately. Don't say that I will do it tomorrow, I will do it at a certain time. You don't know whether you'll get the tawfiq or not. So he says that make this niyat, that this I'm learning to please Allah Ta'ala. Deegar koi baat, mahwiyat wa istighraq wa ghaira, maqsad na ho. All these other things, I want to read a salah of complete absorption, that I'm absorbed in my salah totally, that only me and my Allah, that this type of a namaz I want to type and try and read. So that's not the object. That's not the maqsad. The maqsad is that we want to please Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah must be pleased with us. So read this namaz. So ikhlas is a very great thing. In one kitab I read, the hadith comes where it says, how authentic it is, Allah alone knows. It says, "Annasu kulluhum halikun illa al-alimun." That mankind, all of them are destroyed. Except those people that have the knowledge of deen. Wal-alimun kulluhum halikun illa al-amilun. And those that have the knowledge of deen, they are also destroyed. Except those that act upon that knowledge of deen. Wal-amilun kulluhum halikun illa al-mukhlisun. Those that make amal on that knowledge, they also destroyed. Except that it is done with ikhlas for Allah Ta'ala. Wal-mukhlisun ala khatarin azim. And a person that got ikhlas, he's in danger all the time. Because you don't know when that ikhlas will leave you. When a person loses his ikhlas, when a person just shows somebody, and that ikhlas is gone, zero. Person is responsible, he is answerable now in the court of Allah Ta'ala for the good deed that he has done. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, one occasion, he was sent out in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala to fight a particular battle. So he was a general of the army, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala sent somebody else. After that, he sent somebody else from Medina Sharif. He wrote a letter. He said, this man that came to you, that comes to you with this letter, that he will now be the general of the army. And if you want, you fight under him. He'll be the commander. You fight under him or you return to Medina Munawwara. When he came to with the letter, he gave it to Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala. Immediately, he handed it over, he handed the reins over to him. He says, you the general, you the commander. But he continued fighting. So somebody asked Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he said, how is it? You lost your position. And when you lost your position, you still continued fighting. He says, the first time when I was a general of the army and I was fighting, it was for Allah. When I fought the second time as a normal person, as a normal soldier of the army, then too it was for Allah Ta'ala. So it made no difference whatsoever in my life. So that is that ikhlas Allah Ta'ala give all of us, inshallah. So this is the second thing which he mentions over here. He says that make your niyyah. This is for Allah Ta'ala what I'm doing. So that's the second point. Noor Som, the third point. Khushu wa khuzu or huzur qalb wali namaz hi baruh hai. He says that a salah of concentration and devotion, with that khushu is the internal quality, khudu is the outward quality. So khushu and khudu, this concentration and devotion, and the presence of the heart being there, when all these three qualities are put together, you got internal connection also, externally also all the limbs, the postures are in order, and the heart of a person is present also in that salah, then this is a salah of life, when all these qualities are found. Magar khushu aur huzur se murad ikhtiyari khushu hai. But what is meant by khushu and presence of the heart? He says this refers to that concentration, that khushu, which is within your choice, not out of your ability, which is within your ability. Yani namaz ke faraiz wa wajibat, sunan aur mustahabbat ki adaiyi ka itminan aur hosh se ihtimam karna. He says that all the faraiz of namaz, the wajibat of namaz, those things that are sunnat in namaz, those that are mustahab in namaz, all these things a person with showing importance to it, he should discharge it with total ease and consciousness. Or dil ko qasdan kisi dusri taraf mutawajjih na karna. Intentionally, a person should not take his heart somewhere else. The heart, sometimes it will go somewhere else. That will happen unintentionally. So So he says that fulfill all the fara'is, wajibat, mustahabbat, sunan, etc. of salah, all this you must do, and intentionally don't take your heart somewhere else, don't start thinking of other things. He says this is referred to as khushu and huzur-e qalb. Agar khud ba khud dunyavi khiyal aa jaye, balki be shumar wasawis bhi aaye, lekin namazi apne qasd se aage aane wale asbab mein mashghool rahe, to ye halat namaz ke baruh hone ke munafi nahi. He says, if automatically on its own, some thought of dunya comes, in fact, many, many wasais, unlimited thoughts come to your mind, but you in your salah, you just keep in mind what you have to do next. Next I have to read this, next I have to go into ruku, next I have to read this in ruku. A person just keeps what he has to do next in salah, keep this in mind. He says, then this salah that you perform in this condition of salah is not contrary to the salah that is filled with ruh and life in it. Meaning it is still a salah of ruh and life. Why? Because although these thoughts are coming, you're not entertaining the thoughts. You are saying what I have to do next, and you're continuing. Which our Hazrat gives an example many a time. He says, like you're on the highway in India, in the previous highways, he says on there is somebody riding bicycle, somebody is riding his rickshaw, somebody has got his truck, somebody is pulling his cart over there. Everyone is on the same highway. He says, all you need to do is, you just pay attention to what you have to do. You just pay attention, and you will reach safely to your destination. But the moment you start paying attention a little bit, you go this way or that way, he says, finish. Now you're going to make an accident. You want to look who is in that car, who is driving that car, what this person is doing, finish, you're going to make an accident. So here also, don't pay attention. The wasawis will come, let them come, no problem. Which Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi says, that dil ka lagna faraz nahi hai. For the heart to be in salah, that is not faraz. Dil ko lagana faraz hai. If the heart moved away, bring it back into salah. And in this way, a person must continue performing salah. Aisi halat mein, lazzat-e-mahwiyat mein, kami, aur mujahada mein ziyadati hona, ek to ajar mein ziyadati ka ba'is hoga. He says, now, when these wasawis are going to come in namaz, all these thoughts are going to trouble you in namaz. So he says that when these thoughts are troubling you, in such a condition, the enjoyment of total absorption in salah will decrease. Because you're not in total absorption. These thoughts are coming. You're fighting the thoughts and you're focusing on what has to be done in salah. So there's going to be distraction. So there's the enjoyment that you're supposed to get, the enjoyment that a person gets when he's totally absorbed in salah, he says there's going to be decrease in this. And in mujahada, now you have to fight all the time. So there's much more mujahada that you have to make. You have to sacrifice now to fight those thoughts. So one side you're fighting the thought, on the other side there's less enjoyment also. What is the consequence of this? He says the consequence of this is that you're going to get much more sawab now by Allah Ta'ala. Your reward is going to be much more greater because you are striving to concentrate in salah. And on the other side you're not getting the enjoyment. When a person is getting his enjoyment, now he's happy that I've read a proper namaz. But here there's no enjoyment. So therefore a person is not satisfied. There's no enjoyment. So therefore the reward is greater. The second benefit of this, when these wasawis come, he says, Dusra, tab'i taur par, apni namaz ko nafis samajhta rahega. He says, secondly, that naturally, now you will say, this namaz that I perform is not a perfect namaz. Because so many thoughts were coming, and I had to fight this thought. So he says, you'll say, my namaz is incomplete. It is deficient. It's not a perfect namaz. Jiski wajah se, ujab se hifazat rahegi. He says, the result of this is, you'll be protected from vanity. When ujab comes into a person, this is dangerous. That a person that has ujab in him, leave jannat, he won't get the fragrance of jannat also. And the fragrance of jannat can be smelled from a distance of 500 years. And what is ujab? Ujab is you don't look down upon anyone. Ujab is you say, no, I'm good. That if you read namaz, a perfect namaz, you say, ah, what a namaz I read. That person, he's fallen, finished, he's gone down to the ground. So he says, when you have this difficulty in namaz, where these thoughts are coming, now a person will be protected from ujum, which is the Imam Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi says, that when a person reads namaz, as long as he thinks that my namaz, what is the value of my namaz? That I haven't read a complete and a perfect namaz. He said, that person is safe. That person is okay. But the moment the thought comes to him that today I read a perfect namaz, he said, that's the day you were a problem. That's the day now a person should worry about. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whole night ibadat. And what the dua used to make, ma abadnaka haqqa ibadati. Wallah, we couldn't make your ibadat as we're supposed to make your ibadat. Ma arafnaka haqqa ma'rifati. Wallah, we haven't recognized you. In the manner we're supposed to recognize you, we haven't recognized you. One khalifa of the Mufti Mahmud Sahib, rahmatullahi, Monana, some Kashmiri. On one jalsa, I can't remember, some years back, he had come here and he gave the ulama program. In the ulama program he explained, he says that in the Khanqah of Hazrat Muslim Mahmud Sahib Gangohi rahmatullahi, many akabirin used to come. And he says sometimes there were people, personalities like Hazrat Maulana Abrahul Haq Sahib Haradoi rahmatullahi. And Hazrat, his mizaj was such, his temperament was such. If somebody did something wrong, then Hazrat couldn't keep quiet. He will speak out. He'll say that this is incorrect. That's why Hazrat says that I can't, when people call me to the jalsas, I don't like to go to the jalsas. He says because in the jalsas sometimes the child, he makes a mistake. Now, we don't correct. He's reading the Quran wrong. How can you tolerate Quran wrong? In Tarawih, one zabar, one zair, and it's immediately corrected. He says they make a mistake and mustn't correct him, must leave him. And many a times, young boys, they standing on the stage, they are reading the nazams. So he says, I can't keep quiet. And then when you say something, they don't like it. So he says, that's why I don't like to go to the jalsas. So he says, people like Hazrat Maulana Abrahul Haq Sahib Haradoi rahmatullahi, they used to come. So, on one occasion, he says, so there were many, in other words, there were many senior people that used to come. So he said, one occasion, it was time for namaz. Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi said, that you make imamat. So he says, I went on to the musalla and I started salah. He said, now I'm thinking, such great ulama that are standing here. And I'm making the imamat. Oh, I spoiled everyone's namaz. I spoiled. Now, in namaz, this thought is troubling me. And it's troubling me. And then he says, carry on with this thought. I completed that namaz. So he says, after I completed the namaz, then I said, no, let me go to Hazrat Mufti Sahib. That was his sheikh. So he said, let me go to Hazrat. Let me tell Hazrat that this is my situation over here. So he said, I went to Hazrat. So I told Hazrat that this is what happened in namaz. So Hazrat said, ke ye batao ke akhir mein kya hua. That don't worry what happened all along your namaz. I want to know in the end of your namaz, what was your condition? He said, Hazrat, the end of my namaz was this, that I said I spoiled everyone's namaz. So he said, you have been successful. He says, you are kamyab, you are successful. So as long as a person thinks my namaz is not right, that person is okay. That I got so much more to go. Where can I fulfill the haq of namaz? But the moment a person thinks, ah, now I've done the kitab, now I've read the namaz, the perfect namaz, finished. That person is actually a failure. He's not actually successful. The other point he mentioned that might be of some benefit, that he said that he went to meet Hazrat Maulana Abrahul Haq Sahib Haradoi rahmatullahi. So he told Hazrat that I'm going for Umrah. So Hazrat came outside and he was standing. So he said, I went and sat in the taxi. When I was sitting in the taxi, I said, no, I still want Hazrat's tawajjuh. So he quickly came out, he went to Hazrat, he said, Hazrat, what dua must I make for you? Just to get Hazrat's attention towards him, so he went to ask him, that what dua must I make for you? He says, then one person quietly told him, he says, that because you're going to Baytullah, so much of respect they had for Baytullah, because you're going to Baytullah, Hazrat is standing outside, make quick and go and sit in the taxi. And he asked Hazrat, that what dua must I make for you? Hazrat was the Khalifa of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi. And what a muhiyu sunnah, he revived sunnah. He said, make dua, Allah Ta'ala make my islah. So at that level also, they were concerned of islah. So that's what he's saying, that when a person goes through this little difficulty in salah, these thoughts come, then ujab also won't come into a person. Agar sari umar bhi ye halat rahe, if this is the condition of a person his whole life, to maqsad asli rada ilahi mein pura kamyabi hai. That he says, your maqsad was to please Allah Ta'ala. In this you got complete success. اگرچہ عام طور پر یہ مجاہدہ جلد ہی ختم ہو جاتا ہے. He says, generally, very quickly, this mujahada of a person also comes to an end. Meaning that this thought coming, and then a person has to fight it. He says, very quickly, this will also come to an end. But the maqsad is to please Allah Ta'ala. He says, اور محبوب کے ساتھ یکسو اسے سرگوشی کی لذت نصیب ہو جاتی ہے. And a person, now he gets that opportunity to be in solitude with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and be in direct conversation with Allah Ta'ala, that very soon a person will get this ability of doing this as well. Says, he quotes a poem here. He says that محبت انتہا میں مشکلیں آسان کرتی ہے مگر اس فتنہ گھر کی ابتدا مشکل سے ہوتی ہے. Says, when a person has love, he has محبت, then in the end, he says, even things that are difficult, because you have love, those things become easy. But the initial stages of it is very, very difficult. A person, he's got love for his wife. When he's got love, his wife wants a particular shoe. How many shops he has to walk to go and buy that one particular shoe? Sometimes it's Ramadan, now for Eid he has to buy her that particular size cloak or dress or whatever. So now he has to walk so many shops, he's in Rosa also. And now he's walking all that shops just to get her that one. But he does it. Why? He loves her. He loves his child, he does it for his child. A person that wants to become Hafiz of the Quran, he's got love of the Quran. It's so difficult initially. But it makes it easy. Why? Love of Quran. I want to become Hafiz of the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala makes it easy. So here also, few days, make that qurbani, go through that little bit of difficulty, and then the time will come, where Allah Ta'ala will give us the opportunity of performing such a salah, where we are in direct conversation with Allah Ta'ala. So that's the third point. the fourth point. He said, is azim daulat ka ek darja iske ahl, yani zakir wa shaghil, salik ko inshallah batawfiq ilahi panch asbab pure karne ke baad hasil ho jayega. Further he says that this great treasure of concentration and devotion in one salah, khushu and khudu, he says that person that is making zikr, spiritual exercises, the person that is a salik, he's praying the path to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, one level of this khushu and khudu, by the tawfiq of Allah ta'ala, you will get it. When? After studying these five azbaq, the five sabaqs of Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullahi, after going to them and studying them, he says one level of khushu and khudu you will attain by the tawfiq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says, phir isme sari umar tarakki karta rahe. He says, but thereafter, a person for the rest of his life, he must make tarakki, a person must now continue increasing on this. Don't think that now I got this little bit of concentration, now that's sufficient. We mentioned previously that there are three types of people. One is that person is naqid, he criticizes everyone, he is out of the question. The second one is qani', he is that person that is happy with what he has got. He is, wherever he has reached, he is happy with that. He is content, qani', he is content. So the person that's content, he reaches a certain stage, he's content with it, now very quickly he will come down, because he's qani'. And the third one is talib. Talib will increase, because I haven't reached where I want to reach. I got so much more to go. So always be a talib. That what concentration you will attain after doing these asbaq, now increase on it for the rest of your life. Magar pehle ek chilla in asbaq ka khusus ihtimam kare. But first, he says for 40 days, that a person should give particular attention and focus to these lessons. First pay attention to these lessons for a period of 40 days. Taake istiqamat aur pukhtagi hasil ho. So that you get punctuality also and you become firm in this. When you will do it for 40 days, you will get punctuality and you will be firm in these lessons. In 40 roz mein, iski bhi koshish kare ke kisi namaz ki takbeer-e-ula fort na ho. He says also in this 40 days, when we're doing this sabak, now alhamdulillah we're doing this sabak, those that are here from the beginning of month of Ramadan, just now 30 days will be over. Now 10 more days. So pay attention to the azbaq. Revise this, what you have done, what notes you have, or the English of this is also available. Person can read the English also. So he says that pay attention to the sabak for 40 days. And for 40 days, read your salah with takbir-e-ula. Don't miss the takbir-e-ula. Taake nifaq se baraat hasil ho jaye. If you read your salah for 40 days with takbir-e-ula, that person has got bara'atum minan nifaq, freedom from hypocrisy. And you know hypocrisy is such an illness, it is worse than kufr also. So Allah Ta'ala will give him, Allah save us all, Allah Ta'ala will give him freedom from hypocrisy. Ghaflat wali namaz parna munafaqat ka ek asar hai. To read a salah of unmindfulness, of negligence, this is actually the consequence and this is the result of hypocrisy. When hypocrisy is there, then a person is unmindful in the salah. Then there is negligence in the salah. So here, by making sure that at least once you read that for 40 days behind the imam with takbir-e-ula, he says Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant you freedom from hypocrisy. And the second, bara'atum minan nar, freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Aur hadith paak mein aaya hai ke jo shakhs 40 roz is tarah namaz pare, mentioned the hadith that person that reads namaz for 40 days like this, ke shuru mein imam ke saath sharik ho. That from the beginning, when the imam says Allahu Akbar, then he joins the imam. He also says Allahu Akbar with the imam. Aur namaz shuru karne ki takbir, jab imam kahe, to usi waqt ye bhi namaz mein sharik ho jaye. When the imam says the takbir of tahrima, takbir tahrima, takbir tahrima, then this person also, he joins the imam at that particular time. So wo shakhs na to jahannam mein dakhil hoga, aur na munafiqon mein dakhil hoga. And this person, he won't be among the munafiqin also. And this person, he won't enter into Jahannam also. This is a bargain. Just make that sacrifice. 30 days a person, perhaps we got over takbir-e-ula so far. Just few more days now of Ramadan. And then after the month of Ramadan, another 10 days, 40 days is completed. Munafiq wo log kehlate hai. And this 40 days, it has a great effect. He's explaining this now. Munafiq wo log kehlate hai, jo apne ko musalman zahir kare. Who are the munafiqin? He says, the munafiqin are those people that outwardly they show themselves, they express themselves as Muslims, that we are Muslims. Lekin dil mein kufr rakhte ho, but in their heart they got kufr, that is hidden in their heart. Aur 40 din ki khususiyat bazahir is wajah se hai ki halat ke halat ke taghayyur mein 40 din ko khas dakhal hai. He says that why particularly we have mentioned 40 days over here. He says for this reason that 40 days has a special effect in changing the condition of a person. In 40 days, that's why in Jamaat also 40 days. Musa alayhi salam, when he went to the Mount of Tur, then he fasted for 30 and then an additional 10. So they also 40 days of fast was kept. So 40 days, it has a great effect in a person. When a person goes to Khanqa also, Mashayikh will say at least once, spend 40 days in the Khanqa. So a change will come into the life of a person in this 40 day period.